Why Jesus is the only way to God, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. 1 Timothy 4:10 Christ's teachings are the ultimate in the way to become holy and become one with God. Classic challenges to those who would be his followers are, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Luke 14:33 And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27 He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:39 For if we are dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:11-12 Of all the guides and teachers in history, Christ stands far above in holiness and perfection. His death on the cross is the physical example that we must follow with the inward cross of self-denial to find God, to have God dwell in us, to be with God, to have union with Christ and the Father, while on earth, and to live with him now and forever. By which exceedingly great and precious promises are given to us, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4 Scriptures regarding the divinity of Christ, and showing that before he came to earth in the flesh, Christ created the universe, in his heavenly, glorious form. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word Jesus was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. John 1:1-4, 10-11 Who Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1:15 For by him Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of his body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him. Colossians 1:16-19 Who, Jesus Christ, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself, so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:6-8 Speaking at the Last Supper, just before his crucifixion, Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was." John 17:5 Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, then we shall be satisfied." Then Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you such a long time, and you still have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you then say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you are not spoken from myself, but from the Father living in me, who does the miracles." John 14:8-10 has in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the worlds. Heb 1:2 For as the Father raises up the dead and brings them to life, even so the Son brings to life whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, so that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him the Son. John 5:21-23 God is light. God is a consuming fire. God is a spirit. In the beginning, Jesus stepped out of the light, fire, and spirit called God, to become the visible representation of God as the firstborn Jesus of all the new creation, so that all God's fullness could dwell in him. Jesus, and then by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So that in all things he might have the preeminence, he is essentially one with God and in the form of God. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things exist, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things are made, by and through whom we exist, 1 Cor 8:6. For there is one God the Father, and one mediator between God the Father and men, Christ Jesus, himself having been human, 1 Tim 2:5, and having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile by him Jesus, all things to himself the Father. By him, I say, whether they are things on earth or things in heaven. Call 1:20. Who being the brightness of his glory and the representation of his being, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made ready a cleansing of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, Heb 1:3. Notice. Jesus then was ready to cleanse sins, not excuse sins, not ignore sins, but to free them from the slavery to sin, to totally cleanse and perfect them, sanctifying them and making them holy forever, Heb 10:14. That is what true grace does. True grace redeems from all iniquity, sin, lawless deeds, and purifies a people who are his very own, zealous for good works, done by his direction in what to do and what to say. All will be reconciled to God. The few who are crucified, purified, and perfected while on earth with great reward, and the many who are purified in hell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile by him Jesus, all things to himself the Father. By him Jesus, I say, whether they are things on earth or things in heaven. Call 1:20. For more on how to be reconciled and enter the kingdom of heaven while still in this life on earth, see how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord. See, there is hope for all men and women. For more on his reconciliation of all things back to God the Father. There are many, many prophecies of scriptures regarding the details of Jesus' life, made hundreds of years before his birth and fulfilled in his lifetime. Click here to see them. These fulfilled prophecies not only show Christ's divinity and him being the promised Messiah, but also demonstrate the validity of the Bible, despite the gross misinterpretations so prevalent in Christendom today. Almost everyone has heard that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." And no one can come to him in this life unless the Father draws them. But they must come to the Father through the example, teachings, and help of Christ, including the mystical missing cross. But make no mistake, he is not a license for immorality. Whatever label people claim, they must be holy to have any part of him. The sects of Christendom claim in error that he came to set them free from guilt of sin, rather than to set them free from sin by destruction and death of their sinful nature. You tender-hearted souls who thought he was but still wish him to be your Lord will find encouragement below on how he can destroy the sinful nature. For Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." John 8:34. If you still sin, then sin is your master, and Jesus can't be your Lord because you cannot serve two masters. Luke 16:13. Here is proof that so-called Christians who still sin will be banned from heaven. Whoever commits sin practices lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3, for not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice iniquity, lawlessness, or wickedness." Matt 7:21-23, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that cause sin, as well as the ones who practice lawlessness sin, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matt 13:41-42, Jesus was not a man of war like Mohammed and Krishna, nor was Jesus just a man like Buddha, who never acknowledged a supreme being. Christ walked the earth as a man, but before and after his earthly life, he reigned in the heavens, King of the angels, creator of all things, including the heavens and earth and all in it. Although he ruled the heavens, he stripped himself of his glory and godhood to humble and abase himself, made himself nothing, and took upon himself the nature of a slave, and became like men, born a human being, so that he could reconcile man back to the Father through love, the ultimate gift, his life, for all the errant children of his creation. But in this life on earth, he seeks to reconcile as first fruits only those followers who wish to become like him, in union with him, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." The solution, the way, however, Jesus offers us a solution. To take up the cross daily is the way to become reconciled with God and become holy. You must expose yourself to hearing God's commands to you and then obey what he commands you to change in your behaviors. This is repentance. your obedient repentance results in the destruction of even your desires to sin and the gradual purification of your heart and soul. Your obedience is following Jesus. Your obedience to the will of God, denying yourself, denying your will, that is the cross, the inward cross of self-denial. Jesus gave us our priorities. First, he said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as our highest priority in life. Matt 6:33 then he told us how to seek him. There is only one thing needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Luke 10:39-42 the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life-giving. John 6:63 as our life's highest priority with daily patience and persistence, we sit in humble silence, waiting on God to hear his teachings and commands. Each word we hear, believe, and obey is engrafted into our heart. Each word we hear, believe, and obey imparts more of the life of Christ into our hearts. Each word we hear adds to the purification of our hearts. With our obedient endurance to the end, we see Christ bring salvation and eternal life. You must expose yourself to hearing Christ speak his commands and teachings to you by sitting, waiting on God, listening, watching, hearing, believing, and obeying. That is the only thing we have to do, and the only thing which survives the fire that everyone must pass through. We go to God, we wait on God, we listen for God, we watch for God, we hope to hear him, when we hear him, we obey him. We are centered on God alone. We depend on the grace of God alone, but we must expose ourselves to his commands by waiting on him. This is not a do-it-yourself religion or meditation. To sit in silence while we wait, listening and watching for God's teachings, radically differs from meditations, in which you are to ignore all thoughts and all voices, without a hint of required obedience to what you hear. A well-trained, advanced-level meditator of Eastern religions will not be moved no matter how loud the voice in his head, or even if a form of Jesus appears. Nothing distracts them from their directed concentration. They even have an expression to emphasize the need to ignore all voices and visions. If you meet Buddha on the path, slay him. They believe that any image or voice is not the truth, and therefore to be regarded as a distraction. However, intricate, profound, and wonderful, it is regarded as nothing more than an arising image from one's own mind or the collective consciousness. But unless you obey the convictions and complete commands to repent that you hear and understand, there is no spiritual progress. With your obedience to convicting commands and understandings received that require you to repent, you are forgiven for past offenses, and you will receive power from God that will eventually remove all interest and desire to repeat that sin. We wait on God, eager to learn, hear, and obey what we need to change in order to be further cleansed of sin, thus closer to salvation. Obedience is the cross. Obedience is to deny your own will and obey the will of God as he commands us. And the reward for which we strive is not only release from the bondage of sin to have peace, joy, and righteousness in the kingdom of heaven while still on earth, but after purification, union with God and Christ, to be in fellowship with Christ, the Father, the angels, and the spirits of men and women past, made perfect. Fellowship in the Spirit with fellow believers, and each of us having an office and function in the body of Christ and his government on the earth for the rest of our lives here. The Holy Spirit or Comforter or Spirit of Truth will teach you about sin and righteousness, guide you into all truth, and teach you all things if you wait on God in humble silence, while listening, watching, hearing his spoken words, and obeying his commands. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong, reprove all men concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world in every many has been condemned. John 16:7-11 however, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but he shall only speak what he hears, and he will show you things to come. John 16:13-14 But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit and whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. John 14:26 By grace the Spirit will teach you to deny ungodliness and the lusts of the world, while showing you the secret sins in your heart. Teach you how to live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world. With your repentance to the sins he sets before you, he then removes even the desire for that sin from your heart. With persistence and patience to the end, he redeems you and purifies you, making you a fit instrument for his hand to show the love and power of God to the world, through his energized and directed works that you joyfully perform in loving obedience. From the word of the Lord within, the Spirit of grace both charges and removes, just like Jesus said, repent, and also healed. I stand with those freed from sin. Those who belong to Christ are through with sin. Jesus came to restore man to the spiritual image of God, to be able to enjoy his fellowship and direction again, which requires a man to crucify, mortify, kill, his sinful nature on the inward cross of self-denial. No one can be a disciple of Jesus unless they deny themselves and pick up their cross every day. From the word of the Lord within, religion has rejected the status of men. All the world's religions, including today's Christianity, ignore that man is a fallen creature. Instead, the world's religions teach that we can become pleasing to God with some ritual, ceremony, prayer, meditation, reading scriptures, attending sex services, tithing, works for the poor, fasting, etc. None of which changes us from being defiled in our thoughts and unacceptable to God and heaven. Although we can hide our anger, although we can avoid committing adultery, although we can restrict our flesh from running to or reaching for evil, we cannot change the fact that we get angry, that we look at others with lust, that we want more, etc. We are selfish creatures intent on pleasing ourselves. Only the power of God can remove our selfish human nature. To become pleasing to God, to rid ourselves of our defiled hearts, we must be completely changed by the power of God to receive a new heart, mind, and spirit. From the word of the Lord within, he who is not on the cross is not worthy of me. When I tell them they need to clean the inside of the cup, they sit and wonder. When I tell them about the cross, they have no answer, they seem to have no desire. He who is not on the cross is repulsive to me. Those who have been crucified are through with sin as a motivator, and this must be felt from the inside. Christianity has no idea what I am or for what I stand. There is no church in the world that Christ set up specifically. There are many that deny the cross and all that is necessary. The purpose of this website is to teach you how to carry your cross. Christianity today is an enemy of the cross, falsely teaching that the cross is not necessary, and so their believers continue to sin and thus remain slaves to sin, John 8:34. The only cross of Christianity is just decoration, hanging on the wall or worn as jewelry. As children of Adam, those in Christianity were living in a state of damnation before they became believers. They remain damned after they become believers because they are still sinning and slaves to sin. Their damnation does not slumber, remaining in the condemned state of Adam, unpurified, unholy, unrighteous, unjustified, unsanctified, unsaved. Christianity leaves people living in the lusts of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts of their minds, just like the rest of men. They are left in their sinful natures, walking according to the flesh, whose aim is satisfying things of the flesh, in their lusts, desires, affections, pleasures, pride, anger, vanity, fear, worries, plans, etc. They are left walking in the ways of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, F2, 2-3. If you live after the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. Rom 8:13. By Christianity supposedly saving you in your sins, you have lost your chance to find the superior life of God. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 16:25. The purpose of this website is to teach you how to receive the changing power of God, to become free of sin and enter into union with God as you are translated into his kingdom, while on earth and then forever. When Adam ate from the forbidden tree, their eyes were opened, opening up their vision to the physical dimension of the earth as we know it, no longer seeing by the light of God with the eyes of their soul and heart, no longer knowing what to say, no longer guided in what to do. Instead, Adam and Eve began walking by the thoughts of their mind, by their new imagination, and by lusts and pride. However, their new carnal mind and imagination, making their new life of the flesh, was no match for the paradise, peace, joy, wonderful fellowship, and guidance they previously had from God. So, to Adam and Eve, life as we know it was a colossal tragedy because they were fully aware of what they had lost, the superior life of God. But we, the descendants of Adam, do not know any life other than this life of the flesh in this lower dimension of earth. and so we are mostly ignorant of our cursed existence. If we knew, we would be spending every spare minute in seeking God, seeking His righteousness, seeking His reconciliation, seeking His kingdom, seeking His light, seeking His fellowship, seeking His love, seeking His guidance, seeking the superior life of God. We would be obsessed in being restored to the image of righteousness and holiness that Adam and Eve lost. It's like we have been being hit over the head with a hammer every second of our life, so we think it's normal. And we go through life trying to find happiness in approval of others, toys, pleasures, TV, movies, surfing the web, lusts, meditation, things, bodies, drink, drugs, foods, exotic vacation spots, big bank accounts, power over others, pride, etc. And the vast majority of people die, never realizing there was a better life to be had while still alive on earth, paradise, the kingdom of heaven. So how does any man escape this life's curse? The darkness, the imprisonment, the captivity, the slavery, of which usually he is not even aware. By the grace of God, Christ the light is given to every man so that he might believe, including to believe the truth of a man's ways, which the light reveals within him. God then visits every man at some time in their life, anonymously pleading with them to turn from the evil of their ways. The vast majority of men do not comprehend this anonymous pleading to come from God. And so, if they don't love the truth of what they have been shown by the light of God within every man, they reject the truth, loving their evil ways, and in effect hating the truth, which is to hate Christ, who is the truth. The few that feel convicted as they are shown their evil ways, who acknowledge the truth of what they have been told, and who resolve to change their life accordingly. Because of their love for the truth, those few men and women are then chosen by God to be given a spiritual experience that gives them a taste of the goodness of God, which is given to motivate them to seek He who has been hidden to be revealed. For those few, thus starts their spiritual journey to 1. First discard the broad, easy ways that lead to destruction and find the narrow, only way to God, the cross, and 2. To make the difficult journey to full reconciliation with God, restored to what Adam and Eve lost, but even better, to be translated into the heavens, to sit in the heavens with Christ, protected from ever sinning again, and be in their presence continually, all while still alive on earth and then forever. From the word of the Lord within, life's curse, a dark house. The house is your heart. Darkness is the absence of the light of God to guide your words and deeds. Religion has rejected the status of men. All the world's religions ignore that man is a fallen creature. Instead, the world's religions teach that we can become pleasing to God with some ritual, ceremony, prayer, meditation, reading scriptures, attending sex services, tithing, fasting, etc., none of which changes us from being defiled in our thoughts, unacceptable to God, and banned from heaven when we die. All sin is darkness. To hear and obey is hard. To hear Him, man must decide how he wants to live, a slave to his passions and anger, or free. This is not for those who don't believe. We are confronting those who believe. We are clarifying man's salvation and access to God for those of the faith who would put on more precious clothes. Only those who want to be clean can hear. People can't come in fear, they have to come in love. He who seeks not to hear my voice gropes in the dark. Walking in the light is to be guided through life by God. Walking in darkness is making your own decisions as to what to do and say. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light come from faith in the voice. The way is clear. Listen and obey. Listen to my voice, and I will be your shepherd. Blessed are those who hear me and obey. Expose yourself to hear His commands. Obey the word, obey the light of Christ. Obey every little thing I tell you. When the Lord anonymously pleads with those who name themselves Christians to turn away from their evil ways, they often think they are being condemned by an evil spirit, and so they reject the pleading of the Lord. From the word of the Lord within, Christianity has no idea what I am or for what I stand. Everyone is expecting Jesus to be their excuse. Sin in believers is intolerable. They have missed the mark. They have ignored my commands to turn from sin. The Lord shall render to every man according to his works, good or bad. Often they block me, thinking I am an evil spirit. If you ignore him, he ignores you. Many people use the visitation of this website to remove the blocking of past visitations. Many have been taught that because they believe in Jesus, they are in Christ, and therefore they should not be subject to any condemnation, based on the scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Rom 8. 1. However, to walk after the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit in thoughts, words, and deeds. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Gal 5, 18. To walk after the flesh is to walk according to the thoughts of your carnal mind, the desires of your flesh, and your evil heart, before you have been cleansed and purified. Until then you are not in Christ Jesus because you are still walking in the flesh, in your lusts, desires, affections, pleasures, pride, anger, vanity, fear, worries, plans, etc., which is just like the rest of the world that lies in wickedness and darkness. To be in Christ, you must be through with sin completely. Click to see the scriptures that prove this. When you have been crucified, you no longer walk according to your own mind and imagination. Instead, you walk with the mind of Christ, who dwells in you, and who guides your every word to speak and every action to be done. His good news that he was sent to the world to announce was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is being changed in the light to purity. After purity, to enter paradise, the kingdom of heaven within and around us, our consciousness and sight translated to the spiritual dimension, living in union with Christ and God, but walking on earth by the light of God, as children of the light, for God is not far from each one of us, so that we should seek the Lord and perhaps might feel after him and find him. For in him we live and move and have our being." Acts 17:27-28. These writings show the way out of darkness to light. Click for more. If you've arrived at this site, still curious why Jesus is necessary, I have a challenge for you. Pick up a Bible or click and read the Sermon on the Mount. It won't take long. If you've been seeking, it will ring beyond true. If you like it, read the book of John next. John identifies the beauty of the promises to us, particularly John 14 and John 17. A grouping of Jesus' commands to everyone and his criticisms of religious leaders are on the sidebar. I believe you will find Christ's teachings so superior to anything you have read that you will want to learn more. This happened to me. Jesus said, "I do not speak for myself, but the Father who sent me himself commands me what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that to obey his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak is just as the Father tells me to speak. If anyone desires to do God's will know whether my teaching is from God or if I speak from myself." John 12, 49-50, 7, 17. The Christians of today are not examples of his teachings. The different deficit sects fight over the interpretation of the recorded words of the saints, the interpretations of the Bible, without seeking the same Spirit that spoke the words. As he told me, they fight over the husks without ever discovering the corn. They say Jesus is Lord with their lips, but keep him far removed from their hearts to really be their Lord and King. The main attraction on this site is the Journal of George Fox. George Fox was the original Quaker, who in the 17th century England led tens of thousands to holiness and oneness with God. This people exhibited their moral ethnicity while they testified against all the deficit sects of Christendom as godless. And they were reviled and persecuted for it, just as Jesus predicted would happen to his true followers. They also showed a remarkable love, and their ministry exhibited power. Christ came so we could be one with him and the Father, on the earth in this life, so we could enjoy the kingdom of heaven here and now, after we go to him for his purification. See how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord for details on the lost way to purity and union with God. For those Christians who want to rid themselves of their sinful nature, your selfish nature must be crucified on the inward cross of self-denial before we can be ruled by the Lord God. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, the sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. Gal 5:24, "Without having mortified the deeds and habits of the flesh, you have no part of him, for without holiness none shall see God." Hebrews 12:14, "You were sold the false grace which says do nothing, just continue to live in your sinful nature. Yet Jesus said, 'Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?'" Luke 6:46. You have been cheated of true peace and from knowing that you could live in the kingdom of heaven within you, while on earth, which does not come with outward signs to be observed. He has already returned to thousands of believers who purified themselves. And to those who persistently and patiently wait for him, he will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring full salvation. Heb 9:28, "When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is." Every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he, Jesus, is pure. 1 John 3:2-3 For the pure in heart see God, the pure in heart experience the appearance of Christ, his return. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And how do you do the will of the Father? There came a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to believe and obey him." Luke 9:35 So wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey, seek, listen, obey. You must endure to the end when Christ brings salvation. Doing this will result in him cleansing you, making you fit to be in his presence, making him your ruling Lord in all your spoken words and actions. He, Jesus, became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who heed and obey him. Heb 5:9 To make him Lord, he has to first cleanse us of our sinful nature that makes us unruly, incapable of being subject to a Lord or King. Until he cleanses us, we are a slave to sin, incapable of being subject to a Lord or King. Jesus himself said, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." John 8:34. So we have to seek him to purify us by destroying our selfish, unruly, sinful nature. We have to sit quietly so that he, the light and the word, can teach us about himself and search our heart to show us our conditions, lead us to repent, and then cleanse us to be governable so he can truly rule us as our King and Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All who are of the truth hear my voice. John 10:27-37. Jesus came so he could destroy the works of the devil's sin in us, if we go to him. For this purpose the Son of God is revealed in us, that he might destroy in us the works sin of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can have no part with me." John 13:8. This in no way refers to water baptism. This refers to the washing and cleansing of your heart, body, and soul from sins. He washes us with the words we hear that he speaks to us. Like he washed the apostles, Jesus must wash us too before we can have any part with him. If we are still in our sins, Jesus will not join with us, he will not welcome us into heaven, he will not save us, and we will be banned from heaven when we die. From the word of the Lord within, you who have been in your fleshly garments need some changes made. There is a life which must be rejected. Like the apostles, you too must be cleansed. To fulfill God's will, we must be clean. Only those who want to be clean can hear. To hear him, man must decide how he wants to live, a slave to his passions and anger, or free. We must go to him, quietly listen for his words, hear them, and then obey them. These words that we hear, keep, obey, and practice are what cleanses us to purity and sanctifies us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church of believers, with the washing of water by the word, so that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. F5:25-27 Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. John 15:3 Water baptism is of no value whatsoever. You must experience the one baptism, the baptism of fire and death performed by the Lord himself, which comes after much waiting, listening, watching, hearing, obeying, trials of your faith, suffering, and tribulation. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Rev 3:20 Sitting quietly while thinking on his name is how we learn from him, get cleansed by him, be led by him, and come to know him. Hearing his voice is not reading the Bible, it is hearing his voice. To hear someone, we have to listen. To listen, we have to stop talking, reading, and racing our mind. For everyone who comes to me and listens to my spoken words and does practices, obeys them. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation securely built on a rock. Luke 6:47-48 He is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 Do not fear, you can experience the joy of real fellowship with Christ. I am not recruiting for any sect. I seek no followers. You have no need of any teacher, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, 1 John 2:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I do not want your money. Everything on this site is free. Nothing is for sale. I only want you to know the freedom from all sin. I want you to know that you can be so filled with love that you go through the rest of your life obsessed with loving others and loving God. You can be full of everlasting joy and peace. You can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. You can become pure in heart and see God. You can have the kingdom of God and the glorious Christ established in your heart. Go and read John 14 and John 17 to understand the true promises of God. But you must pick up your cross daily and crucify your flesh's affections and lusts to be with God. Be of good courage and have faith, for compared to his cross, your burden is light and easy. The cross is to go to him, think on his name, listen, and obey. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This is how you learn from him. You will be taught, shown your condition, and you will receive personalized commands from him to you. Seeking the kingdom of God as your first priority is an act of repentance and a cross to your selfish will turning away from evil. As you understand it, is an act of repentance and a cross to your selfish will you don't want to sit quietly every day to listen and watch. But if you do, it is a cross to your selfish will if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Rev 3:20. You don't want to obey his commands that you hear, but if you repent, it is a cross to your selfish will you don't want to forgive injustices done to you, but you repent and forgive, a cross to your angry self you don't want to admit and regret what the light shows your condition to be, but if you repent, it is a cross to your will. This is the place where you get changed, where your peace increases, in the light. You don't want to give to others from your excess, but if you repent from your selfishness and give it as a cross to your will you don't want to defer, deny self, to others, rather than insist on your way, but if you repent and defer, it is a cross to your will. This is the inward cross of self-denial. If any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3-5. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Gal 5:24. See how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord for more detail. He wants us to come to him so we can be taught and he can show us our condition. And by us repenting and obeying his commands, he purifies us until he and the Father come to establish their kingdom in our hearts and translate us to paradise, all by grace. A grace that teaches us to live godly and righteously in this present world. Contrasted with the deficit sex false, instant grace, Paul describes the true grace in letter to Titus stated below. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. As we receive the blessed fulfillment of our hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. Titus 2:11-14. This is not instant grace. This is a teaching grace, a purifying grace in this world. This takes time. You must be quiet to listen to be taught by grace, resulting in the appearance of God and Christ and leading you to good works. See true grace versus false grace for more. You might be asking, how could this be true? Everyone believes that there is nothing I have to do but believe in Jesus and maybe get baptized in water. The answer is in the Bible. Countless examples in the history of Israel where they forgot the requirements of righteousness and became comfortable in their flesh. In cycles, a prophet would arise, point out their universal error, and then get persecuted or killed. Then the people were punished. They repented and lived correctly until they again drifted back into a false religion. The same thing happened in the early church. Jude wrote in 1:4, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality." All the deficit sects of today are simply variations on the doctrines established by the Roman emperor. And of course, Saint Constantine in 325 add regarding salvation and Christianity. The doctrines were further standardized by later Roman emperors, including the sainted despot, Justinian. Within 65 years, the true church, with its correct doctrines, was stamped out by the deceptive lure of their doctrine of instant, ritualized salvation, coupled with the Roman Empire's crushing boot of persecution for any deviation from their authorized state religion. As predicted in the Bible's book of Revelation, the church had adulterated with the kings of the earth. For 1260 years, the true church was banished to the wilderness, to appear again in 1650 with the breakthrough of the early Quakers, only to die again by 1880 due to the deception of presumptive salvation. People are eager to embrace the broad, easy way. Even Adolf Hitler said Jesus was his Lord and Savior. But saying so doesn't make him your Lord in control of your words and deeds. Read George Fox's journal and you will know for sure. Just as they were surrounded by godless deficit sects, so are we today in an age of universal apostasy. False prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, blind guides, ministers asking for your money, countless thousands of blind ministers taught by colleges instead of Christ, billions of blind followers in the ditch, still subject to rage, lusts, anger, greed, envy, emotions. With no purity, no peace, false hope, false gospels, false salvation, the missing cross, and no one entering the kingdom. In response to a question, would many be saved? Christ said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in that way. Because narrow is the gate and compressed is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Paul said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, quaking." So salvation is not as easy as you have been led to believe. You have been misled. It is easy to go with the herd, but beware, for Paul said, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." See the missing cross for more. Christ is eager to help you enter by the narrow gate and for you to receive his kingdom, but you must go to him. To learn to live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world, you must go to him for the purpose of loosing your fleshly life to gain your spiritual life. To attain purity through his grace and your faith in the power of the true gospel, the power of the cross, and the power of his name, Jesus Christ, all the power of God. Remember, all things work together for good for those who love God, to them who are called according his purpose. You have nothing to worry about. Even the things you did wrong in your life work to bring you to God, to be reunited with him, to learn to love, to learn of God's love for you, to love God, to be loved by God, to become a son of love, to become love too. If you love him, you will seek him by going to him and getting quiet to hear his very soft voice. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be purified. You can be purified on earth by grace through repentance, or you can be purified in the next life, through hell to a much lower heaven. Everyone will be purified eventually and receive right standing with God to live in heaven, but purification in the next life is far harder and the subsequent life is far less. See, there is hope for all men and women for more information. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. 1 Timothy 4:9-10, this website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.